Thanks for joining us on the JX today. We'll start with the topic of climate change, or more correctly, the people who work to keep the public's attention focused on climate change. Rogue Climate has grown into a force on the local climate action scene in the Rogue Valley under the executive directorship of Hannah Soule, leading a growing staff and a bunch of volunteers. Hannah Soule is stepping down as boss at Rogue Climate at the end of next week and is here to talk about why. Hannah Soule, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange once again.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
So why don't we start at the end? Why are you leaving Rogue Climate?
Great question. Well, you know, Rogue Climate started over 10 years ago. And like you said, we've grown into a pretty incredible organization, 10 staff, two offices, one here in Phoenix, one over on the South Coast. And it's, you know, after a decade, I'm ready for my next adventure and for trying something new. And the organization is really in a great place, too, to weather this transition. And yeah, I'm really excited for what the future of the organization holds.
So nothing you're going to at this point? You're still going to?
Not yet. I'm going to take a little bit of time to figure out what's next. Mm-hmm. And make some decisions from there.
Talk about the origin story. It's kind of fun. This is essentially a project that kept going.
Yes, exactly. We didn't start with the intention of actually creating an organization, but it just kind of happened. So back in 2013, there was a National Day of Climate Action that was happening in D.C. I had just moved back to the Valley. Some other young folks had also just moved back. And we got together with some other local organizations, some labor groups, and wanted to do something locally. So we had people decorate cardboard cutouts of houses with what they loved most about the Rogue Valley and what worried them about climate change. And over 1,000 people made these little art pieces. And then we made them into a giant salmon that took up an entire parking lot in downtown Medford. And hundreds of people showed up for this event. And what it showed us was that in Medford, in Southern Oregon, there was so many people that wanted to actually take action on climate change. And one thing led to another, and here we are. 10 years later with a full-on organization.
So did it happen that day? Did it happen in a post-mortem? I mean, was there some point when you and the other organizers looked at each other and said, you know, this could turn into something else?
Yeah, great question. You know, after that event, people kept coming up to us and asking, well, what are we going to do next? You know, we had this event. What do we do? And so we kind of learned along the way. We took the salmon up to Salem, started advocating for policy, brought the salmon back down to Southern Oregon and worked on local policy. And one thing just kind of led to another. And soon after that, the Jordan Cove LNG project was proposed again for Southern Oregon. And so we started working on that campaign.
Does the salmon still exist in some form?
There's a few remnant scales, but not really.
So in terms of, I mean, the momentum, as you mentioned, was there to build something on climate with the response you got to the salmon project. But the other part of it, I mean, how much of an education to get organized, get nonprofit tax status and all that stuff?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we really just took it one step at a time. It was kind of like we would try to do something and then we realized that to raise money, we needed a nonprofit status. So we reached out to somebody in the community who mentored us how to do that next step. So it was really just kind of finding a barrier and then figuring out who in the community could help us overcome that. And step by step, we built this organization.
Where the organization is Rogue Climate, where Hannah Soule is the executive director and is departing in a week and a half or so. And you can join the conversation on the exchange with emails to jx@jeffnet.org. I'd say you had 10 years of fairly large climate issues in the region, but as time goes on, the 10-year periods pretty much all become large, don't they?
Yeah, they really go by.
So you seem to take particular pride in the Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal and the pipeline not getting built. What were the keys, would you say, to that happening that way?
Yeah, well, it's not every day that a community can be a $10 billion fossil fuel corporation. So that was an incredible win. One of the things that was so special about that campaign, I think, was the coalition that came together, impacted landowners, tribes, environmental groups, and literally thousands of people across Southern Oregon took action over years to stop that pipeline. And so that was a really special moment. And I think really showed what our community is capable of as well.
Is it easier to keep people focused on things like climate change when you have a particular target to go after that? Because, you know, the rest of the time it can seem, I think, to some people somewhat amorphous. You know, what do I do at my level to make things happen? That gave an obvious answer. But when you don't have that, What's it like?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that was such a specific campaign. But there's been other really clear campaigns we've been able to win and run here in at the state level as well. Together in coalition, we have passed some really exciting solutions, too. So in Oregon, we passed one of the strongest renewable energy commitments in the country, and also passed legislation to move millions of dollars to local communities for renewable energy projects and energy efficiency projects. So, for example, right now in Central Point, Grants Pass, Medford, Ashland, there's community solar projects that are moving forward because of state legislation that we helped pass. So I think it's a little more complicated organizing for solutions, but it's really possible. One of the other campaigns that I'm excited about here locally is our youth team is running a campaign to pass a climate and clean air policy package here in Ashland. And so that would help reduce fossil fuel emissions at the local level. So I think that's another really exciting way that people can take action on climate change is not only looking at state policy, but really what can happen at the local level as well.
So this requires people to get interested in their local governments, which it seems like they get a lot more interested in the national government. What are some of the things you have done to try to get people to tie into what's going on in their communities and to get them focused on making specific requests of their city councils?
Yeah, well, this Ashland Youth for Electrification campaign is a great idea, a great example. Young people have been working for over, multiple years to move forward this policy. And the entire community can get involved on May 7th at the upcoming city council meeting as well. And, you know, local policy, I think, has such a powerful opportunity to open the door to what is possible across the region and also at the state level. So policies really come up from the ground as well.
Hannah Soule is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the executive director at Rogue Climate for about another week and a half, departing after leading the organization since the beginning back in 2013. We have time for some emails if you'd like to join us, jx@jeffnet.org. Talk about the resistance you face when you do this, particularly Jordan Cove, where you mentioned you were going up against a $1 billion corporation. But also things like when you push for clean fuels, for example. I remember that whole battle at the Oregon legislature and the constant claims, oh, you know, our gas prices will shoot up by 19 cents a gallon, all that kind of stuff. There's always some level of resistance to what you're asking for people to commit to.
Yeah, for sure. I think, though, what we're seeing right now is that transitioning to clean energy and greater energy efficiency is becoming cheaper. It's helping people actually weather the impacts of climate change. You know, when people have energy efficient heating and cooling in their home, they can, you know, weather smoky days, hot days, and also see reductions in their energy bills. So I think we're seeing a lot. Obviously, we're still seeing resistance from the fossil fuel industry as we try to transition to greater energy and greater renewables. But it's such an incredible opportunity to create jobs, to lower energy prices, and to find solutions that make our communities better places in general and for the long term.
So we've been talking about Jordan Cove a few times here. Would you say that's the thing you're most proud of at Rogue Climate, or is there something else that tops the list?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that is, there's so many. That's definitely one of the highlights. I think one of the things, though, that I'm most proud of has been watching young people over the years really build the skills to run campaigns and really take those skills to win climate justice campaigns here locally, but also across the state and across the country. So that has been seeing those seeds of climate action grow has been really, really special to witness.
What would you like to see the organization do or continue to do once you've departed from Rogue Climate?
Yeah, I think the organization is in such a great place. Like I said before, we have an incredible staff team, incredible volunteers, and I am so confident in the organization's work moving forward to continue moving forward really transformative campaigns for climate justice, for energy justice, and also to help for helping our communities prepare for the impacts of climate change.
So I've seen Colleen Dixon will be taking over as interim executive director of Rogue Climate, and there'll be a search for a permanent executive director along the way. Organizations, people, events, issues aside, I mean, how would you describe the degree of difficulty in keeping people focused on climate change and what needs to happen, particularly as the numbers continue to get worse and the warnings from scientists and the United Nations, for example, continue to get more urgent?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it is challenging, but I also think that people are starting to feel the impacts of climate change on their everyday lives. And so finding ways to plug in at the local level and with other community members is, I think, a powerful way to keep that hope alive and to stay connected. And yeah, now is a great time to get involved with Rogue Climate. And I hope that listeners will get involved, will volunteer, will donate, and will also show up on May 7th at the Ashland City Council meeting.
Well, that's right, May 7th, you were underlining that. You also, I didn't mention this, but you lost your headquarters in the Almeda Fire 2020, didn't you?
We did, yeah. That was definitely one of the hardest parts of the last 10 years, I think, for Rogue Climate, but also for our community as a whole. And we did lose our building in the Almeda Fire, as did, you know, so many of our friends and neighbors lost their homes. And I think what was so challenging about that moment was really seeing the impacts of climate change up close. You could smell it, you could feel it, and you could see who was most impacted by climate change. But it also was one of the most inspirational moments as well. One of the things that was so special about that aftermath was that community members that had worked together on the pipeline campaign in Coos Bay and who had built friendships and relationships with folks here in the Rogue Valley, in less than a week, they sent over school bus loads of supplies. And far earlier than even FEMA had gotten supplies on the ground, community members in Coos Bay and across the state who were connected through these other climate justice campaigns were already on the ground supporting. And I think that we saw just such incredible power of our communities coming together in the aftermath of that climate disaster as well.
Well, it's been quite a journey over almost 11 years.
It really has been.
Hannah Soule was the first executive director of Rogue Climate, is now departing and off to things that she'll figure out later on, apparently. Hannah, thanks for joining us once again.
Thanks so much for having me.
You bet.